But in the next few months, we'll actually plant in the building where they'll start meeting on Sundays. And I'll be flying back to Thailand in September, October sometime. And by then, the building will either have just been planted or will be in the process of getting set up. But regardless, I played a part in the church plant when it was just starting out before I came back to Canada for the summer. And I'll be playing a bigger role in the church plant once I get back. At least
keep us in prayer as we plant the city in Pattaya. It's a city that has a long history of a lot of hurt and pain, and especially and there's a big stronghold of like hurt, broken families and prostitution and stuff like that in the city. So, you know, it's definitely a city that, you know, needs Christ. So, yeah, please keep in prayer as we plant that church. Another thing is that my main area with the ministry in Thailand is with the Victory Worship Band, which is Victory Asia's worship band based out of Thailand. And, you know, we do a lot of outreaches. We evangelize through praise and worship. We travel across Thailand, you know, preaching the gospel through praise and worship, and also teaching other worship teams and other churches. Last year in November, Victory Worship, we went to India for a couple weeks to, you know, do some music and worship training and teaching with the Bible College at Pastor Joseph's Bible College over there. And Pastor Joseph is the head of Victory India. We have ministries and churches in 10 countries across Southeast Asia, so that was really cool. I've always heard great things about Pastor Joseph's ministry in India for many years, and I always wanted to go, so it was really cool to see it in person. And then last summer, that picture there actually, in the background are the Rocky Mountains in the background actually, because last year, VW, we went on our first ever Canadian tour. We could only make it to West Canada for logistical reasons, and that was really good, and we're planning on doing another Canadian tour next year around the same time. We're still working out the logistics of it, but hopefully we're able to visit more than just Alberta and BC, but we'll see what happens. So that's more stuff in the works with VW. Another big thing, just as a whole, is that another nation that we're in is Myanmar. And one of my good friends who went to Victory Asia Bible College with me, Micah, after he graduated, he went back home to Myanmar and has a powerful ministry with a big church and youth program. And he does a lot of outreaches, reaching hundreds of people at a time, preaching the gospel. And Myanmar, as some of you may have heard in the news a few months ago, was hit by a major earthquake. 7.7 magnitude earthquake right in the center of Myanmar. And Myanmar got the worst of it, but it also affected 10 countries across Southeast Asia, including Thailand. It did miss Sirachha, but it got pretty close. The closest it got was Bangkok, which is just a couple hours north from where we are, but we weren't hit. But Myanmar got hit the worst, and Micah and his ministry have been preparing, and they've already gone, and they're doing a second trip to the city of Mandalay, which was hit the hardest, to provide, you know, food and water and, you know, mosquito nets and medicine and, you know, just other stuff to help the people affected the worst by the earthquake, and also preaching the gospel to the people that were hurt. And they're just praying over the ruined buildings and praying that, you know, churches will rise up from the ruins. Just great things happening in Myanmar in spite of the earthquake. Just all the other ministries across Southeast Asia that we're connected with are all growing and doing well. So there's a couple ways how So I want to talk now just a little bit about our youth missions program that we have with Victory Asia called 7 Weeks in Asia. There might be a slide. There we go. Yeah, so we do it every summer, and it's for youth ages 15 to 25. And as the name implies, you spend 7 weeks in Asia with mentorship and, you know, ministry, but also, you know, it really is, you know, fun and adventures. You can ride elephants and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The deadline for this summer has already passed, but we do it every year. So if you or someone you know, age 15 to 25, is interested in maybe going on 7 weeks in Asia, you know, you can come talk to me after. Or there'll be info on victoryasia.com. There's a tab about 7 weeks in Asia if you want more info about that. So if you're interested, you can sign up for next summer. I believe this summer, I believe they're going to Thailand, Cambodia, and Vietnam. And it'll probably be maybe the same or maybe three different countries next year. But it's always a good time. And then also, VABC, Victory Asia Bible College, which is how I got involved with the ministry. After I graduated high school, I went to Victory Asia Bible College in Thailand. It's the next slide. And so if there's anyone who's serious about ministry and you want to be trained in ministry, you know, I highly encourage you to consider VABC. Again, there's info on the page here in the pamphlet and on the website. And again, you can talk with me after the service if you have questions or interested about that. And I guess just one more thing before I get into my message here is I think there's a song demo might be have. So back with VW, the main project that Victory Worship Band is doing right now is that we are making a 7-song Thai worship album. So seven original worship songs written and produced in Thai, and I believe our goal is to get it done by July. And I think all the songs are already written, and we have a demo of it. No, we don't have it? All right. It's all right. It's all right if we don't. It's all good. But, you know, that is something to look forward to, or something we're working on, because, doing praise and worship in Thailand, you know, it's good to have praise and worship songs written in Thai, because most songs that we sing on Sundays or just in church in Thailand are English praise and worship songs translated into Thai. So it's good to have some original songs written in Thai itself. So that's kind of what we're working on right now. So that's kind of a little bit about what's been going on just in Thailand and Victory Asia. And if you want to talk with me more directly about it or have other questions, you know, I'll be here a little bit after service. Feel free to talk with me. But aside from that, I want to talk also a bit about forgiveness and the importance of keeping your heart right. So Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." So what does that mean, to guard your heart? And this is actually something that we talk about a lot at VABC. And the basic principle of guarding your heart is keeping your heart free from bitterness, which comes from offense. Because offense in this world is inevitable, especially when you deal with other people. Because no two people are the same, and people tend to step on each other's toes by thinking, saying, and doing things that, you know, can offend other people and cause bitterness between them. And sometimes offense can happen, you know, maliciously, but other times it can be completely unintentional. Now, this may sound just a little bit random, but one way to think about people is similar to oxen, like how it's described in Proverbs 14:4, where it says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox." So if you don't engage with people, you isolate yourself, or you do everything all by yourself, then you can avoid a lot of the offense that may come from the people around you. You know, there's a popular saying, I'm sure you know it, if you want the job done right, you do it yourself, right? It's a very popular saying. But oftentimes, that saying is connected with this mindset of pride and self-reliance. The thing is, if you stay to yourself, then you'll be limited to yourself. The farmer has a manger for a reason. Oxen may make a mess, sure, but you need them if you want to accomplish something great. And this is actually why VABC doesn't formally offer one-year programs. And it's also why students and leaders live in the same building. Because you can fake who you really are for a year, but any longer in a space where you're always rubbing shoulders with different people from very different backgrounds and cultures will reveal what's really in your heart. So we get to see who you really are, both the good and the bad, and through it all, we're still a family. And this is why it's important to keep your heart right, because keeping your heart right towards the people around you is essential for having healthy relationships. Because like it or not, we need to be social. I mean, take it from me. I'm a big introvert who likes to stay to myself a lot, and I can barely maintain a conversation with most people. And even with public speaking, like I'm doing right now, I have to read my message from my notes so I don't keep saying the same thing over and over and over again, which is a bad nervous habit that I have. So forgive me if I'm looking down a little too much. Even I have to be social if I want to achieve anything worthwhile. God made humans as social creatures for a reason. It's a part of the image of God. And this is reflected in how God chooses to expand his kingdom on earth. It always involves people at every step. Because God works through covenant, and a covenant is a two-sided legal promise where both parties are equal in the relationship. And typically, a covenant is initiated by the greater making themselves equal with the lesser, and both sides exchange tokens as a legal sign of their faithfulness to the covenant. And Titus 1 verse 2 and Hebrews 6 verse 18 says God cannot lie. So this is something to keep in mind. At creation, God gave the authority of the world to humanity, but as we know, man fell into sin. So to save us from sin, God had to send his son, the Messiah, into the earth to die for payment of sin. But man still had the authority over the earth because God had given dominion to humanity. Now, if God were to send Christ into the world anyway, it would make God a liar by violating the sovereign authority he gave to mankind over the earth. God had given humanity a choice, and God would be a liar if he had violated that choice, which is the one thing God cannot do. God cannot lie. So, God had to make a covenant with the man who would willingly sacrifice his son so that God could have legal authority to sacrifice his own son on the earth. And God made this covenant with Abraham. And the tokens of this covenant, as it's described in Genesis 14 and Hebrews chapters 6 and 7, were first from God through Melchizedek, bread and wine, and second from Abraham, a tithe of everything. Now, with legal authority from the Abrahamic covenant, also known as the New Covenant, Christ came into the world, and through him we have the forgiveness of sin. And in Christ's resurrection, he was given all authority in heaven and on earth, which is why there's real power when we speak the name of Jesus. And with the authority of the world taken back, God's chosen method of expanding the church on earth is still through relationship with people, just like it was in the garden before sin. We went over it earlier already, but we'll go through it again. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Every step of the way, from beginning to the end, God never does anything on the earth where people aren't involved. And God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't expect God to do anything in the world today where the church won't get involved. God works through covenant, which is never one-sided. People are the focus of the ministry. If you want to turn in your Bible to John 21, starting in verse 15. John 21:15. Give you a second there. John 21:15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, Jesus may have been talking to Peter here, but this also applies to you and me. Who are Jesus' sheep? We are. People are. So, if we say that we love Jesus, but we don't love people, then what does that make us? It makes us liars. You cannot separate God and people from each other. If you do, then you don't really know who God is. It may sound silly at times, but sometimes we can be so focused on the programs we do and the things that we have that we can neglect the people around us, which is funny because serving people is why we have these programs to begin with. People are the focus of ministry. A clean manger without oxen is a useless manger. Also, that word ministry just means to serve. So where do you serve people in your life? Whatever that is, that's your ministry. Yes, people can suck sometimes, I'm just being honest. You know, that's why we need a Savior to begin with. But under no circumstance should we allow ourselves to grow hatred and bitterness towards one another. Remember that each person on earth is made in the image of God. And if you hate people, you hate God. Now, righteous anger and justice are still important, and it's biblical. You know, I'm not trying to say that we should become yes men and bless everything and everything, anything and everything that anyone ever does. You know, we hate sin, but we love those who are still enslaved by it. We want to see the sinner set free. That's John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to be able to separate the sin from the person and see people how God sees people. There's no excuse to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness. By holding on to unforgiveness, you're only hurting yourself. If you want to turn in your Bibles again to Matthew 18, starting in verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Sorry, in verse 15. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So, you can't afford unforgiveness. Remember that you too were once a sinner, and what did Christ forgive you of? There's nothing, there's no bitterness or offense that anyone could have possibly done to you that is worth more than the debt you owed from your own sin that Christ forgave you of. You can't afford unforgiveness. There's this one person, I won't go into too many details, but there's one person that I've had a lot of bitterness towards in my own life for many years, and it took a lot for me to forgive. But once I got that revelation from this parable about how the debt that someone else owes me can't compare to what Christ forgave me of, I decided that no matter what, I'll never hold on to unforgiveness in my heart towards anyone. I know that I can't afford that unforgiveness, so I'll follow Christ's example on how to forgive. When you forgive, it means that you don't hold an account for offenses that someone's committed against you, and you put away all bitterness towards them. It means that person is in right standing with you, which means they can be around you and not be guilty in your eyes. And the word righteousness also means right standing, so forgiveness leads to righteousness. Just as when Christ forgave you, you are now righteous in God's eyes, when you forgive someone else, they become righteous in your eyes. Forgiveness is the key to keeping your heart right. Now, do have some wisdom. I believe that there is a difference between forgiveness and trust. You know, I still don't have the best relationship with this person I mentioned, and because of that lack of relationship, there's still some things I don't trust him with. However, in my eyes, I can honestly say that I don't hold him guilty of any of the offenses that he's committed against me. Compared to what I've been forgiven of, I couldn't afford to hang on to that unforgiveness. So, I think I'll land the plane here. One of our many leaders in Thailand, Pastor Renee from the Hua Hin Church in Thailand, has a great saying that always stuck with me. And that's, you can either get bitter or better, but you can't do both. Remember to guard your heart and keep your heart right towards the people around you, because it really does determine the course of your life. And people are like oxen. They may be messy at times, but people are where you get abundance, and it's the reason why you have a manger in the first place. And people are the focus of ministry. If you love Jesus, then you love his sheep. And you can't afford unforgiveness. Follow Christ's example. So, yeah.
Amen.
And God bless. Amen.